God bless you. Welcome to podcast number 112. Come on, Jeff Majors. Help us get started here today. Come on now.
Lift every voice and sing. Fill earth and heaven. Ring with the
God bless you. Welcome. This is Reverend C.L. Jones from Diamond Grove Baptist Church, 127 Diamond Grove Road, Skippers, Virginia. If you have your souls, can you join with me and turn it to the book of Acts, chapter 8? Let's look at verse 35 and 36. And it reads as follows. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" God's blessed word for God's blessed people. If I was tagging this, I would tag it, "What hinders you?" Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for this day that thou hast made. Oh, Father, come and I ask for forgiveness of my sins. And then, Lord, I ask that you'll allow this vessel to decrease and your spirit to increase so that we all, including myself, may hear what thus said the Lord. Oh, Father, we call it victory already in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. What hinders you? When we venture into the New Testament, we come across a new covenant. Jesus announced it at the Last Supper. After he took the bread and gave thanks for his body, Luke 22 and 20 said, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Later, we realize that he was speaking of a promise that God makes with mankind, that he will forgive sin and restore communion with those whose heart believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' death on the cross is the basis of the promise. He defeats death by his resurrection and restored life. And those who receive and believe can look to him as mediator of this new covenant. His gospel serves as a bridge from the Old Testament to the New. That is why we would say that John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus called him so in Luke 7:28. He said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." The way our New Testament is set up, first, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Then we have the book of Acts, which is the history of the New Testament. It tells us how the word of God was sent out into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And note, from Romans to Jude, we are told how to live as Christians. You don't just get saved and know everything. We need guidance in how to live in this newness of life that we have accepted. And then it concludes with the book of Revelation. a book of prophecy. So as we come to this book of Acts history, we have come to a lesson that speaks on what is used as part of God's plan of salvation. There has to be a conversion from the old you to the new. This conversion always takes three things: the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and a man of God or a person of God. And note, our man, Philip, one of the first deacons of the church, in Acts 8:26-27 says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south unto Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And while on his way home, sitting in his chariot, he read from the book of Isaiah the prophet. In the meantime, the Spirit told Philip to go near and join with him. So Philip ran over and noticed that he was reading Isaiah 53. So he asked the Ethiopian, did he understand what he read? And the man replied, how can I, except some man should guide me? And here we see all three in progress. The Spirit prepared the Ethiopian eunuch to receive while reading the word, Isaiah 53, and then sending the man, Philip, over to complete the process. And if this Ethiopian was asking about one that was being led as a sheep to the slaughter, then he must have read Isaiah 53:5 that says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So as he read that his life was taken from the earth, he wondered, who was Isaiah speaking of, himself or of some other man? Philip was presented with the perfect setup to preach Jesus unto this man. You can never get too much Jesus. You can get too much sugar, salt, TV, social media, and even too much time off work. But you can never get too much Jesus. And some folks may think that too much Jesus may make you so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. But when you got the real Jesus on the inside, you'll have a balance. You will use your blessings to introduce others to Christ and not to boast about self. And there is no beating others over the head with the Bible. And when you really get Jesus, you always remember that you have your own cross to bear. Truth is that nobody goes to heaven by accident. If you get to heaven, it's because you have accepted Jesus in your heart. And this is known as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Afterwards, you are to show the world of your newness of life by receiving water baptism. Now, our friend in our lesson, after coming across water, asked Philip, what does hinder me to be baptized? Acts 8:37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With that, Philip baptized him. In Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. All right. Now let us just take a moment and think of what may hinder us from serving God, God's way, and not your way. When we go through water baptism, we should be rejoicing like the Ethiopian eunuch and telling the world that we are now a child of God and Jesus is my Lord. We don't mind people knowing anything else about us unless we are having too much fun in our secret sins. If something is hindering us, then we need to revisit the cross. Maybe we need to think of his goodness that took on sin and paid the price for us. Maybe we need to face the fact that he was buried and rose so that we could have the rights to eternal life. We can find joy when we revisit the cross. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. God bless, God bless. I don't know who have or who have not accepted Jesus Christ, but if you're not sure, say this with me. Say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of Mary. Lord, I believe they went to Calvary and died for my sins. Lord, I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Lord, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. The word said, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. Father God, we pray first for your forgiveness. And then, Lord, we ask, use us, Lord. Allow us to be that man if need be. Allow us to present the word that we know where the power is. And we allow your spirit where two or three are gathering Jesus in the midst to come. And Lord, we pray that others will understand how to have this conversion and accept you and be willing to be ready to receive your kingdom. Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we give all praises and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Like I always say, keep each other in prayer. And until we meet again,